Greetings. Welcome to As So Often Happens, a baseball podcast with Benjamin Hockman
and
Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Benjamin, you're the new sports columnist at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, so I guess that makes me the longtime baseball writer here at the Post-Dispatch.
I would just say old.
And there we have it. We're off to a flying start, as he calls me old. This is our first episode, our pilot episode.
And maybe our last.
And maybe our last of As So Often Happens, ASOH, a name that was suggested by listeners, or future listeners. Let's call them future listeners.
Potential. But you put it on Twitter.
Yes, I did put it on Twitter.
And you've got a zillion, I think it's 1.7 zillion followers.
Me and Bieber, actually, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And
I am the Bieber of baseball. You haven't heard this.
Oh, yeah. No question. You look just like him. And so here's the thing. You put it on there, and this is actually kind of fun. We could share this information with our listeners. It's been a struggle.
It has
come up with a name.
Mainly because of me.
No, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Mainly because of you. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we had other names picked out. I liked High Sox Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We both liked Podcast Above Replacement.
The PAR, we did.
However, we didn't want it to make it sound like we're just talking stats the whole time.
No, but we will. We will. And
we'll have some stats.
Yeah, and we'll do some graduate level sabermetrics. We'll, you and I both know Jonah Carey, so we can at least, through osmosis,
sure,
be smarter about these things.
So, I guess what we're getting at is that there will be some nerdness, but, like, come on, it'll still be fun.
Right. This is a chance, as the podcasts always are, to, I think, tell stories, to have debates, to have discussions. But most of all, the goal that I want to have from this, and as we kind of branch out, and hopefully we do well with this and get a good response, is to tell some stories, behind-the-scenes stories, some historical stories. You have great stories from Cardinal history. You know, I have a fondness for baseball, and by naming this As So Often Happens, we're giving a bit of a nod to a timeless baseball. You know, this idea that when a player makes a play in the field, a mm-hmm. web gem, if you will. That's the common phrase of it. When they have a great defensive play, as so often happens, they lead off the next inning. As so often happens.
So often happens.
And so we borrowed that phrase. That'll be the name of the new podcast.
Yeah.
And we'll keep track of how many as so often happens we say. Because as so often happens, I say it a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you have, you know, you have this cult following.
Great.
You do.
Sip some Kool-Aid there.
Yeah.
Mr. Benjamin.
That's right. And these and you keep track of as so often happens with the St. Louis Cardinals. So when a guy makes a diving catch in the outfield, then he leads off the next inning.
That's right.
As so often happens, he makes a great play and then he gets to lead off the inning and gets a big hit.
Right, gets a big hit. Yeah, I do keep track of it. I keep track of it in my score sheet. Not to dive through the rabbit hole into scorebookery, which I am a big fan of scorebooking. But I do. I put in ASOH, and I keep track of them through the season. ASOH.
And it kind of sounds like a NPR show.
It does. That's what we're told.
As so often happens.
Yes.
Brought to you by some organic food.
That's right. And MailChimp.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Isn't that how it goes?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
okay. All right. Our mail.
So when are we going to start? When do you want to start the podcast? This is a test run, right?
So we should probably get going on this. Now, that was enough prelude, as they say.
I'm just being
as so often happens, we got carried away.
Yeah.
So,
well, if you look at previous podcasts we've done together, it's in our DNA.
It's
MO.
Yeah, it is. So I think it'd be good, you know, most everybody listening to this, as you said, I have a cult following, so I guess everybody knows me. So you probably ought to introduce yourself.
Okay.
Give us some vitals. Give us some, the measurements, you know, like long walks on a short beach, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm currently 5'7", I don't know, I'm looking down here at my belly, maybe like 290. I would say
a podcast adds 100 pounds.
Is that what
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I would say that I look probably like I'm about to start my third trimester.
Okay, as a sports columnist?
No, as a six-month pregnant woman.
That's a little much. No, I think you're good. You're good.
I'm wearing a thin, slimming black T-shirt right now.
Where are you from?
I'm from St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah.
St. Louis, Missouri.
And you are wearing a... Right now, let's paint the picture.
Let's paint the picture. You're right. I'm wearing a Clayton High School varsity baseball hat.
It is very similar to the Centaurus High School varsity baseball hat.
No way. For
where there is the, what do you call that C? What do you call it?
I call it the Cincinnati Reds C.
The Cincinnati C, or like a C with a tail on
sure.
it? Sure. Okay. The Cincinnati C, we had the Cincinnati C as well, only with red.
Okay.
And a deeper shade of blue. So yeah. I could go fish my baseball
cap. Well, that we'll take a picture and tweet it to the tweeters.
Okay.
Of us something. In our silly hats from high school.
That'd be good.
I'm from Clayton, Missouri. I'm repping. Do people say repping? Still, I'm repping the Greyhounds, the Clayton Greyhounds. I went to the University of Missouri, Columbia, and studied journalism there. And what's fun for our new fans, if you will, is this interesting connection that Derek and I have, that we have been in three of the same places before, but never at the same time. Only now, I'm 35, what are you, like 50
minus 10. Derek, that's exactly right.
Derek's 40.
50 minus 10.
Derek's 40.
There's the math.
There's the math. Yeah. There's the Sabermetrics advanced stats portion of the podcast.
Yeah.
No, we've lived in three different places, but never at the same time. Uh-huh. Only now in the fourth place, St. Louis, do we live there at the same time and coincidentally, of course, work together. We both went to Mizzou. We both were writers for the New Orleans newspaper, the Times-Picayune.
We both covered colleges. For the New Orleans Times.
Yes.
You covered Tulane, and I covered LSU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Denver, your home area.
Right. My first beat at the Rocky Mountain News, which was great. Rest in peace, the Rocky Mountain News.
Yeah, I got
a chance to go home, and my first beat there in Denver at the Rocky Mountain News was covering the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
And your first beat when you went to Denver for the rival paper, the Denver Post, was?
Denver Nuggets. Covered the Denver Nuggets. We had the same job, even.
Yeah.
And then I was...
We would have competed with each other.
Yeah.
Maybe if I had stuck around.
That would be weird. That would have been weird.
It would have been weird.
I would have taken you down. And so anyway, I got promoted to columnist in 2013, and then I got my dream job here to be a sports columnist for the Post-Dispatch in my hometown of St. Louis just a couple weeks ago, and here we are doing our inaugural podcast, as so often happens.
As so often happens, and this is actually 2 days past my anniversary of the job, of the day I start. We are taping this, the pilot episode, on September 10th.
Yeah, we didn't want to be
2015.
Insensitive. We didn't want to do it tomorrow and be insensitive.
Well, we could. I mean, we're not being insensitive. But
we could be insensitive.
We could talk about
it. We're insensitive.
You know, we didn't plan this date. The September 10th is 2 days. I was in Alaska on September 11th.
Were you?
Yeah.
Okay.
With the Blues. I just started at the paper. And so this is 2 days past my anniversary of starting at the Post-Dispatch. So I hadn't thought about that.
Speaking of Blues, I had a little disconnect last night with another new hire at our paper, Ben Fredrickson.
Mm-hmm.
Nice guy. He's writing online stories for us. We were at dinner, and he goes, "Hey, do you like the Blues?" I'm like, "Yeah, I love hockey. I'm really into it. I'm excited about the season." He goes, no, the music.
Oh.
I'm like, who in St. Louis asks that question, "Do you like the Blues?" And is not making any slack.
Yeah. That's a very...
So I threw my sangria in his face.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a reference to the column.
Yeah.
Well done.
Right in his face.
Yeah. So you come here, your dream job.
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
I think porn star would be my dream job.
Really?
Well, all right, let's think this through.
No, let's not. Let's not.
Let's go back to baseball.
I wanted to just ask you about this dream job notion, because then we can kind of dovetail, because part of the dream job, what aspects of it?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to guide you back to baseball.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. If many of our listeners either grew up as St. Louisans, as Cardinal fans, as baseball fans. I'm a little of all of that from my childhood. And my two favorite things to do are watch sports and write.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that there's a job that's called sports writer is surreal. It'd be like if there was a job called Will Ferrell movie watching cheeseburger eater.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that was an actual job, combining those two fun pastimes.
Yeah.
Well, there literally is one for me, sports and writing. So I've always wanted to be a sports writer. I've always wanted to write about St. Louis sports. I feel like I get the culture. I'm part of the culture. I love the old references. I love the fans. I love everything about it. And I had a really cool job in Denver as the columnist. I mean, Peyton Manning's there. The Broncos are one of the better teams in football.
Yeah, absolutely.
A four-sport town as well. But when Bernie McLass, who was my childhood hero, left the newspaper to be a radio host, man, I couldn't pass this up. And what an opportunity and what a time to show up in the September of a playoff hunt and hopefully a bunch of October bylines.
When was the last time that you, and Datelines from I mean, it's a good time to cover baseball here. You know, we'll talk later in the episode about sort of the notion of covering September and October baseball, pennant race baseball. I've had the opportunity, responsibility, however you want to do it, to cover many of them. I've lucked into this and really had a chance to cover some of the more amazing things I've ever seen, not just in baseball, but just in sports.
Sure.
And, you know, I look forward to it. I relish it. It's a great time. When was the last time you lived in St. Louis?
1998 was my senior year at Clayton High School.
Okay.
And then, you know, you come back in college, you stay for the summer. So I guess 2000, 2001.
The last time you kind of marinated in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. I mean, was 15 years. Okay. Yeah, 98. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
How have you seen baseball change? Or the city has always been a tremendous baseball town.
Yeah.
I mean, the roots of baseball are really dug in deep here. You can go back 125 years to when baseball had, or when St. Louis had multiple teams.
Sure.
You can trace a lot of different things. You know, Rawlings being here
and
inventing the modern glove. That was a St. Louis-based thing.
Right.
The Sporting News, the Bible of baseball. Mm-hmm. So a lot of St. Louis has always been wrapped up. And then you have Peter Gammons calling it on ESPN the best baseball city and the best baseball fans, and all that stuff has always been wrapped up in the identity of St. Louis. But I'm curious, now that you're kind of being dropped into this pennant race, how have you seen this city and its relationship with baseball change? Has it changed?
That's a great question, and I think I can speak for a lot of the people that are in their mid-30s in this, and maybe a little older in this regard. My first year ever, like, kind of understanding baseball was age 7, 1987. Mm-hmm. Of course, the team makes the World Series. From age 8 until I was 16, the team stunk. I mean, people are like, oh, you're from St. Louis, all you do is win. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, the formative years of my childhood, I was rooting for a losing team.
This is me in the, like, I grew up rooting for the Yankees in the 80s.
Right.
And everyone's like, oh, you bandwagoner. It's like, no, man, I was, I watched the Spike Owen, Pat Kelly, you know, wanting Bam Bam Newlands to be the savior for, you know, get Donnie Ball, baseball to the postseason.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know,
You suffered through Kevin Moss.
Suffered. I wouldn't say suffered.
Well, suffered through the hype.
Yes, there was that.
I mean, the hype was fun, but then the fact that
a lot of home runs.
Yeah, but I mean,
it was very exciting.
He was supposed to be the next famous M last name player.
He was. He was the M and M.
Mattingly and Maris and Mantle and the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm getting at is a lot of the people that I just made reference to, people around 35, 40 years old, they kind of appreciate what's going on this past decade because they lived through Felix Jose and Tom Bernanski and stuff like that. So I think I hate to point a finger at Atlanta, but I'm going to point a finger at Atlanta.
That's fine.
I'm pointing a finger
toward Atlanta.
Toward Atlanta.
That's
actually towards Macon. Here, let me just. All right, now I'm pointing it towards Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, they got so spoiled down there that they weren't even selling out NLDS games after a while. I mean, there's 100 reasons why or why not that happens in here and why we in St. Louis sell out. Mm-hmm. But I think part of it is clear appreciation for each time the Cardinals make the playoffs. And maybe we take it for granted, like, okay, let's just get to the playoffs and start this thing. Mm-hmm. But there's never, once it happens, we're not like, oh, let's just wait until we get to the NLCS. That never happens.
But you don't really see empty houses even during the season. I mean, they have this streak going now of at least 40,000 tickets sold. Now, that's not 40,000 people showing up. It's important. But they have the streak going of at least 40,000 tickets sold for every home game. This will be the second consecutive year that they pull it off.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're seeing this downturn. And, you know, one of the more well-populated, well-attended series was against the Nationals. Mm-hmm. And actually, the Pirates later in that week, you know, this last homestand that just completed. Yeah. I mean, the Cubs games were not as well as attended. Right. I was really struck by that
bonkers,
you know,
right?
There were a lot of Cubs fans there.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Pirates even drew. And the Nationals drew. I get the sense, and I understand that this is kind of where I live. I mean, this is, you know, sure. I'm around it all the time.
Yeah.
Twitter is loaded with my inbox is filled with it. Do you think that there is more of a deeper connection with the team now, and that has positive mm-hmm. and negative things? One positive is that the town really thinks like, okay, if the Cardinals are doing well, mm-hmm. then St. Louis is doing well.
Right.
And then the other side of that is if the Cardinals lose one game,
right.
you know, it's like, oh, devastation.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you see that stronger? Is that a stronger thing than it was 15 years
it's
ago?
It's very palpable. There's no question about it. And now, Derek, I mean, when we're talking about a Twitter world, we're talking about a news, a sports talk radio world.
Good point. Podcast world.
Podcast, well, clearly. We are the, could we be like the capital city of the podcast? I guess it's become podcast country, though.
Right.
We could be a
podcast nation.
Podcast nation.
Yeah.
I like it. We should come up with a trademark. Make t-shirts.
Print.
If I always tell this story when I say always, I mean, the last week when people have been asking me about St. Louis, mm-hmm. I'm like, the first day I'm here, I'm listening to one of the radio stations, and they're doing score predictions for that night's game.
For baseball?
For baseball.
Wow.
I mean, there's 160 games, but, I mean, it's what they're talking about. I don't know. I think this guy's going to do – I mean, it's
– wow.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of sums up just, like, the intensity and
totally,
the passion.
That totally fits with my explanation sometimes with trying to convey – to people what it's like when the Cardinals lose.
Ooh.
And I always say that, you know, when they lose a game, it's like, you know, the fan base goes, oh, we won't go to the Rose Bowl this year.
Right.
Oh, we can't play for the national championship. We lost a game.
One game.
It's like, well, no, the rankings haven't come out yet. It's cool. You got time.
I think you'll be all right.
Yeah, but it's cool because it does create this this really sincere passion,
yep.
and while it drives other fan bases bonkers, you can't deny the sincerity of it.
Oh, yeah. That's really well said, Derek. And then, I mean, some of my favorite things from growing up is, you know, the standing O's.
Yeah.
You know, they give standing O's. If Shane Robinson.
Like Brandon Moss got.
Yeah.
Or John Jay got for his first at bat back from his second time on the DL.
Derek, I skipped Tuesday's game. I came back Wednesday. They gave me a standing ovation when I plugged my computer in.
Seriously? I've never gotten one.
That's
a native son kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Native son. Yeah.
No, I've never. They try to pull the chair out from underneath.
Come on. By the way, if you're listening, Matt Fry, I'm sorry about pulling the chair out from under you when we were in sixth grade. I feel like that's kind of like hanging over my head. So if you're listening, Matt Fry from Wydown Middle School, I'm sorry I pulled the chair and made you fall and hit your head on the bottom of the chalkboard stand in 1991. I felt bad about that. I think we'll be airing my grievances and
Can we get your confessions sponsored, you think?
Should
we get some, like... I mean, if we get those sponsored, then we can get some money in your pocket.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to do that.
Yeah, regularly. And we could maybe even get Usher involved.
Oh, yeah.
These are Ben's confessions. something. And then maybe we can even get Usher on the podcast.
An Usher, absolutely.
An Usher, just any Usher.
We could get.
I've always said this.
I've known a few. Like, we could get an Usher, absolutely. Usher.
You're like, Benjamin, we can get multiple Ushers.
I can do that for you.
If I ever became really wealthy, I would... do this, I would have Usher be an usher at my wedding.
Oh, cool.
Wouldn't that be cool?
And so they'd say, Mr. Usher, and he would go, yes.
Yes, I think that. But I mean, can you imagine you walking in and like the guy handed you this stupid little pamphlet thing, and the usher is Usher?
I would have Legend as my best man.
Wait.
John Legend.
Okay.
Just because he would be a legend standing next to me, right?
Yeah, well, and then.
I'm trying to play along here.
But Tegan would be there then. Chrissy Teigen. That's his.
Yeah. I'm just trying to play along. I didn't know.
But I'm trying to talk about Chrissy Teigen now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, but it would be your wedding.
Oh no, no. But we're at your fake wedding.
Oh, there's no more. I've had a real wedding.
No, so I know. No. Okay, so we'll back to my wedding, John. Yeah, yeah. So we had the usher, John Legend standing up there, and then me with my wife to be, bride to be, mm-hmm. while I'm eyeing Chrissy Teigen.
Okay.
Now
we got it. Okay,
deal.
As you've watched this season, because I mean you've watched this Cardinal. It's not like you're coming in tabula rasa to September. So you've watched this team through the years and certainly this year. What's caught your eye about the 2015 Cardinals? Do you have a surprise?
Oh, sure.
Do you have three surprises?
Yeah. Right away, this is obvious. I mean, the pitching is absurdly, unfathomably good.
Yeah.
Historically good. I mean, I was in Denver for much of the season, but I had the TV package.
So you don't know much about pitching, is what you're about to say.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they would show on Fox Sports Midwest, like, the other teams that had low ERAs, like this Cardinals team. And then we had, like, the Orioles with Jim Palmer, and I think the A's with Catfish Hunter, and things like that. I mean, man, oh, man, it is unbelievable, the statistics of these pitchers. But then, of course,
Bob Gibson, Viva Albertos.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Viva Albertos is the blog, but the Albertos.
Yes.
As I have.
So, are you referring to the 68 team?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the 1.12 kind of helped out a little bit.
But, I mean, that was a whole – I mean, you're right. That was the anchor. But it was a whole thing. And, I mean, that was the year that changed the game because they had to respond to the low, dose of offense everywhere. Sure. And they – you know, so it wasn't too long after that the DH comes into play. So you have the mound change. So they did respond to it. But, yeah, I mean, that's right. I'm struck by, it was the ERA coming out of this homestand was 2.81 as a team. And it had taken a bruising.
Coincidentally, also my GPA at Mizzou.
Really?
2.81.
Really?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Was it?
I don't know. I would hope it was higher than that.
College isn't about your GPA.
So the joke would have been the joke would have been better if I'd gone with high school.
Yeah, because then how would you have gotten to Mizzou?
All right, take two.
2.81. Their ERA.
Oh man, 2.81. Man, Derek, that was my GPA in high school.
I don't believe it.
Oh man. Golly.
So 2.81.
You're going down, Mark Maron. We're gonna have the funniest podcast.
But we need a good lead-in song.
Oh, I've got some thoughts.
Have you?
Yeah.
Do you have some thoughts are good, but do you have some friends who can put together some music? Because thoughts are great, but friends who can play musical instruments, even better.
There is I was about to do a podcast in Denver before I got this awesome job in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like, all right, well, we got to have this song or this song. They're like, I don't know, man, you can't just like take actual songs and put them on the podcast. And
only if you sing them.
If I sing them, maybe. Even then I might get, in trouble. But they had a website, and I can't remember what it was called, but it was like music made by other people that you can use for podcasts and TV shows. And there was one, and I guess what we'll do is we'll have it ready for our second podcast. Like in the old TV show Dallas, where like someone almost dies before at the end of every episode to have you come back.
Oh, this is
our cliffhanger. Come back next time, if only.
For episode two.
To hear the song that I can play.
Oh, good. Okay.
And it's kind of like Yakety Sax on LSD. That's probably the best way of putting it.
Sounds exactly like nothing I listen to. Yeah. So awesome.
No, but it's so ridiculous. It's fun.
Oh, no, I'm sure. Yeah. It's fantastic.
So we're talking about the Cardinals and this season.
Right. So the pitching in 2.81 was their ERA, and you made the joke twice about your GPA. But it does sound like something from a bygone era.
Right.
I mean, they're the only team with a pitching staff that has an ERA less than 3. They've been able to maintain this far beyond anybody who said, oh, look, they're going to have a regression to the mean.
Right.
Their regression to the mean is still regression to pretty historic.
Yeah.
So, and they have regressed. I mean, the number that really struck with me about the pitching staff was they have led the National League in ERA every month until September. So it's been consistent. It wasn't like they had like this one really superbly low month and crazy low month, but it's been every month until they got to September. Now it's kind of been around five just because they got nicked and dinged and and hammered here recently. But, you know, they've done it all, too, also without Adam Wainwright. So, you know, I mean, where does that factor in? When you look at, I mean, do you have to cut your expectations for this team or your perception of what they've accomplished by who they're missing? I mean, do you at all take that into account?
I mean, if the math stands, I mean, they'll crack triple digits with wins. Mm-hmm. And if they gobble up a bunch of wins against some of these lesser teams from the division, I mean, it's quite possible they could flirt or get the most wins in franchise history. And the fact that their best hitter and best pitcher have not been a part of it is beyond surreal. Any other team in baseball loses a Matt Holliday and an Adam Wainwright, and it's doomsday. We've got to write off this year. You know, it's all about next year. Once they get back. Oh, and by the way, throw in Matt Adams. I know he wasn't doing great when he got hurt.
Yeah, but cleanup hitter.
Yeah, cleanup hitter though,
and a setup man in Walden.
Exactly, out for the year. And I mean, it's just, and John Jay can throw him in too. Gritchick's been hurt a little bit. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And you got to tip. I will tip my Clayton High School hat to John Mozeliak and the rest of the front office for just having so much depth.
So give me one guy each, one pitcher who has taken the most advantage of the opportunity and maybe surprised you a little bit because, say, Wainwright was out.
Right.
And then give me one position player from your estimation who took advantage and maybe even rechanged the calculus of his stance in the organization.
And I'm excited to hear your responses to these as well, Derek. I mean, right away, Himes. Do people call him Himes?
No.
That's like short for Jaime, Himes.
No.
I'm going to make it a thing. Jaime Garcia, I mean, what was he, like the sixth, seventh guy in our heads? I mean, we thought Marco Gonzalez would be ahead of him. I mean, no one trusted Jaime anymore. The fan base didn't trust him anymore because they just figured it's not if he gets hurt again,
it's when
he gets hurt again. And, I mean, he has a historic ERA right now. I know he hasn't pitched the whole season, but, I mean, it is just unreal watching Jaime pitch, Himes, if you will. And then, I mean, the other question, I mean, there's so many fun answers to it. I'm going to go with Gritchick. I mean, heading into this, I know he had some postseason success last year, the home run and such, but entering the season, he was more like a trivia question, like who was the guy picked by the Angels with Mike Trout in the first round of the 09 draft?
Who was picked before Mike Trout?
Yeah, exactly. By the same team, no less. Great trivia question. But now we're talking about, I'm penciling this guy for the 2016 All-Star game. The way he plays is just so much fun, and he hit that home run just the other night to Big Mac Land.
Yeah.
Remember when they had Little Mac Land?
No.
Yeah, so Joe McEwing.
Yeah, well, I remember Little Mac, but I don't remember Little Mac Land.
Yeah, it was, I think, 99. It must have been like 99 or 2000. Okay. And, you know, it was like right over the fence, said like Little Mac Land.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty creative. Yeah,
that is good. So, like, right where 62 went.
Essentially, it was a little bit over. I think it was in front of the bullpen, or it was like above the bullpen.
Oh, okay.
In left field.
Did the relievers do that?
What's that?
Did the relievers come up with that, or did the Cardinals?
No, this was like sponsored, I believe, by like McDonald's.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And
where have those things gone, by the way?
Oh, I love stuff like that.
Yeah, though. Where is, I mean, are the ballparks too new? Do they not age long enough to get these nicknames and everything? I was at the ballpark really late the other night.
Sure.
And I was thinking about this. I mean, is there like maybe a lingua franca of the bleachers that we just don't know, or
maybe
has it not developed?
That's a good point. I mean, the left field sucks, right field sucks was a big thing.
By the way, I use lingua franca because it's an NPR phrase.
Yes. I was just going to pretend I didn't hear that because I have no idea what that means.
Okay.
All right.
As so often happens.
Dead gold, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm trying.
I mean, it's funny because as you and I were discussing what to name the podcast, we came up with 73 ideas, and you know, one worse than the next.
All mine were bad.
Except for one. We were trying to come up with something that's like unique to the Cardinals.
Right.
And we couldn't do this because of licensing rights, but we wanted to call it Meet Me at Museum.
Right.
The idea
because this is that's how I began my book.
Yeah.
You know, like the, you know, here it was the assignment was do a book on 100 things that fans should know and do. Yeah. Do was the big key. Like, sure. If you can make it so that they do things, I'm like, well, you got to start where everybody starts. This is the game going experience.
Yep.
So start a trip through St. Louis Cardinals history, or start a visit to the ballpark with number one, meet at Musial. And so
that would have been fun, but I think we couldn't have done it because of licensing with his last name. And then we were trying to come up with other ones. I threw out there October Clydesdales, things like that. But in regards to the stadium, I think we were both racking our brains trying to think of like things of the new stadium that are unique. We're both connected to Denver, and I don't know if you guys know this, but at the ballpark there, where the stands are on the upper deck, they say that it is 5,280 feet, a mile high. Derek's going to take care of his dog right now. What's your dog's name, Derek?
Dash.
Dash is his dog's name, named, of course, after the actress Stacey Dash from the movie Clueless.
Or not. Named by my son, after the superhero in The Incredibles.
Oh.
The kid who runs really fast. And also fits, if you go with Dashiell Hammett, fits with our previous dog's name, which was Truman, after Truman Capote.
Wow.
So we have literary dogs.
You read a lot of books.
Yes.
I've
heard, overthink everything.
I've heard of a lot of books. Like, you name an author, like, oh, I've heard of him.
Have you? Capote.
Oh, yeah. He's that guy was great. He wrote that one book.
Yes, he did. Several of them.
Yeah.
Several of those one books.
Yeah. No, I know him because they used to say that he maybe wrote To Kill a Mockingbird. That was like the old thing.
Right, that is.
Because he and Harper Lee were close.
Right. They grew up.
Yeah. So anyway, we were trying to Purple Row.
Yeah.
5,280 feet. The sorry, Purple guys. Row. Is there's a bunch of green seats. The whole upper deck is green except for one row, and it's purple because it marks 5,280 feet, mile high, at the stadium. Up, so there's a blog called Purple Row. It's a perfect thing. Anyway, we were trying to think of something for the new Bush, and we couldn't really come up with it.
I wonder. I mean, it's 10 years old, so
maybe we should just call the podcast New Bush.
No, I don't. Damn. Bush 3, I don't know if that sends the message that we're looking for. You know, I mean,
I love New Bush.
I know.
No, I just love New Bush.
Is it better than Sportsman Park, which was Bush 1?
Yeah, I don't think we're talking about the same thing here.
I don't know. I think it just hasn't. If this is just the type of thing that the different ballparks have, they just are, they're so new that they don't have the same character, or maybe part of it is they have so many amenities now, you know, and this retro kind of feel that people aren't like looking to nickname things to make them better, you know, because you had, and I bet you this is part of it, but like Bush 2 was a lot like Riverfront, was a lot like Three Rivers. So how do you distinguish it from something else? You know, you have the Crown of Arches, Big Mac Land, Little Mac Land. So there was an encouragement to have creativity to set it apart, Homer's Landing.
Yeah.
Whereas now they're all pretty distinctive, and so the ballpark itself is this nickname that we're searching for.
And for the people that were catching on to my stupid thing, now that I'm back in my hometown, I guess I'm gonna have to reach out to Old Bush. That's part of my
you knew him.
August A. Bush.
Yeah.
I actually do silliness.
I didn't know if you knew him or not.
No. That's my guy. Gussie.
Okay, Gussie.
Anyway, so who, Derek, would be your...
So I think from a pitching standpoint, I think we both agree on Grichuk. I mean, Grichuk made the most of this opportunity and really kind of... he stole playing time from others. He gave them a power component that they don't have. He revealed during the season that what we saw during spring training, which was a really mature, matured or really refined, he took the lessons of last year and what they asked him to improve on. He really took to heart and improved it.
I'm sorry to jump in, but for the listeners, what were some things you cover in the team every day that he improved upon?
Well, I mean, contact rate was one thing. That was kind of the big thing with him was, could he maintain the... could he improve upon the contact? I mean, he was a strikeout guy.
Yeah.
Showed a lot of power, but didn't have that consistent quality contact throughout the minors. And the knock on him was like, eventually that's going to make him streaky.
Yeah.
Maybe not an everyday player.
Right.
You know, it might not translate to the big leagues as people find the holes in his swings and everything like that. It was like this whole, there were a lot of reasons. And then there's a lot of examples of that. But the argument was, you know, does a leopard change his spots? That was the discussion a lot in that I had with fans or with people spring training. Watching this guy, look, I mean, he changed his awareness of the strike zone.
Yeah.
He flattened his bat. He looks a little bit like Rod Crew standing up there now.
Yeah.
You know, but he was more judicious with his understanding.
Wait, of the strike. Judicious?
Judicious.
Because of Rod Carew?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh, okay.
Because he was.
I'm being stupid.
That's not. No.
Rod Carew was Jewish. And I'm Jewish.
I know.
According to the Adam Sandler song, he was Jewish.
Right, because it rhymed?
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I don't know the story behind that. I know the statue, though.
Yeah, yeah.
In Minnesota, it was got the flat bat.
Flat bat, and Randall does it. Yeah.
And Randall does it.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was very aware, more aware of the strike zone, swinging the less pitches outside of it, more. So that's the improvement that he made. And I was like, can this translate into the season?
Well,
and
it did.
And you're seeing the benefit of it. And, oh, by the way, he can play center field.
Yeah.
And I think these are two things that he has shown this season that do radically enhance his place with the organ. And now the thing is, can he stay healthy?
Right.
Because he's had two issues related to weight room practices and everything like that.
Yeah.
He has the elbow issue. So
Where is he going? Vic Tanny? Where is he working out to have these injuries in the weight room?
No, this is... But, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, people have... You make a good point. But part of it is just learning as a young player.
Yeah.
Like, okay, when you're playing part-time, mm-hmm. the work you can do is a lot different than when you're playing every day.
Right, right, right.
And you have to think, okay, I got to save this for the game, or I got to save, you know, some sort of energy, or this is not the day to work out. And that stuff is just learned over time because it's not the same for everybody. Matt Carpenter had to learn it this season, for example.
Yeah.
You know, Jason Hayward has a head start on him because he's so young. Mm-hmm. Matt Holliday has had to change these things as he gets older.
Sure.
You're going to see Stephen Piscotty go through it too.
Yeah.
He's going to learn how many swings are too many swings, how many swings are enough swings. When is the day to get in there and just, you know, swing until you find your rhythm?
Yeah.
And when is maybe five swings going to do it because you got to save it for the game?
Exactly. And you were talking about, you know, excitement.
Yeah.
You and I were both talking to Matt Belisle, the veteran reliever of the Cardinals, who I actually knew from Denver back in the, in the Rockies days. And Belisle had a great quote about Piscotty saying, oh, he's been a jolt.
Mm-hmm.
And he really has. And Cardinal fans see it in many of the successful seasons where it's, whether it's Will Clark or Larry Walker, those guys, of course, are from trades. But you get some guy that wasn't on your roster early on that just jolts you. And, I mean, you remember, I mean, one of the most popular pieces on our website this year was Bernie's piece, Will Stephen Piscotty Retire in Memphis?
Right.
It was a great headline, but it's true. Like, is this guy ever going to get to the bigs?
Right.
And sure enough, and then now he's here, and the hard hit balls.
Off he goes.
It's so much fun to watch. And I mean, I think, and we'll get to this, I truly think, Derek, that this guy can play first base in the playoffs.
Sure, absolutely. I think, you know, that notion of jolt, that's my answer for the other one. The pitcher who has been a surprise is a guy who has brought a lot of life and electricity to the Cardinals clubhouse. And I think he's done it with a tremendous amount of weight and expectation on him. And I think he's shown such kind of fortitude, I believe, and panache.
Oh.
And that's Carlos Martinez.
Yeah.
I mean, what he has done as a starter, what he has learned, and the fact that he has done that every day with huge expectations, put on himself.
I mean,
look, this is the role that he wants.
Right.
And he so wants to prove to everybody that he can do it. But he also, let's not ignore, he goes out there every day wearing the number of his buddy.
No question.
And, you know, he really, having gone to the Dominican and spent that day with him there, I mean, it was really clear how he wanted to. I mean, he was distraught. He had lost a brother.
Sure.
And someone who he had grown up with as a Cardinal, someone who he expected to star with as a Cardinal.
Yeah.
When he gets to the All-Star game this year, he talked to us, and I think he put on Instagram or Twitter this notion of, you know, I'm taking Oscar to the All-Star game.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It was clear, to, like, just kind of looking back and thinking about how he was talking, it was clear that he was talking about, like, that he expected them to go together at some point in time in their career.
Right.
They were going to be the stars.
Of course
and
they were. Yeah,
now
yeah.
he's the one that is to left to carry on. I think it just shows such mental strength.
That's what I was going to get at. It's, I mean, it's a great point because you can take our last two conversations and combine them. You were talking about the Piscottis of the world, the Grichiks of the world, learning the mental reps, learning how to approach the game.
Right.
The, what you were basically saying to our listeners is, baseball, 2015, it is a hard vocation. It is a hard job as is.
Mm-hmm.
Then you throw in the emotional thing that he's dealing with. I mean, a lot of the team was dealing with the loss of Oscar, but of course this is a very special situation because they were like brothers. I mean, having to do what Piscotty and Grichik doing as a young player trying to, you know, make an impact is hard enough.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
also do that while dealing with the weight of the loss is just so admirable.
Yeah, and he's done it without, like, losing the personality that makes him lively, you know, the cup stacking, the dances, the being the guy who is there at the end of the home run receiving line.
Sure.
You know, I mean, he is a cherished personality
right.
in that. I mean, there are so many little moments from his year that I won't forget. One was opening day during the ceremony or the memorial for Oscar.
Yeah.
And when they're standing there along the line, having been introduced, and Carlos is clearly having a hard time. I mean, he's looking up and he's clearly moved by this. And Lance Lynn puts an arm around him and holds him close.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the other one was when Carlos was on tilt and he was getting furious at the Rockies. And he made a gesture that he shouldn't have, and he knows it.
Yeah.
But he was itching to really, I mean, he was hot.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, out of the swarm, you know, you see Carlos really ready to charge from the dugout, looking for an excuse.
Sure.
And a hand grabs his jersey and pulls him back. And it was Adam Wainwright.
Yeah.
And
who's not even playing.
Who's not even playing. And they are so fond. I mean, he's a beloved person in the clubhouse for a lot of reasons. And one added reason, that one baseball reason for this, is because you're starting to see him learn to win without his best stuff.
Yeah.
And
well, even the other day, Derek, against the Cubs, he didn't pitch great, but he kept them in the game.
He kept them in the game. I mean, he pulled a Lackey.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that, and you're starting to see. I mean, I just think that that's such a next level for a young pitcher to get to. And I honestly think you're going to have to see that from Michael Wacha at some point in time.
Right.
I mean, when the other day, he didn't have his best stuff. And what happened? He got knocked around a bit and was out of there quickly.
Yep.
You know, we've seen Michael Wacha. He was pitching through injury last year, but when he didn't have the best stuff or when he didn't have the right timing on his fastball, it strays high and he's got nothing. He had no way because they can spit on the changeup and wait to hit the fastball.
Yeah.
Carlos is kind of evolving and saying, like, I may not have my best feel for this pitch. I may not have my best feel for this, but I got this sinker and I know what to do with it even at 75% of its effectiveness.
Right. And how old is Carlos?
And Carlos is 22.
22 years old.
I mean, I think that to me stands out as the pitcher. So that brings us to the fact nicely. This is a good segue into what from this season do you think makes the Cardinals a Titan in October, and then what maybe from the season concerns you for when it gets into the shorter time frame, bigger games?
Well, I mean, and I squabble with this in my own head, and I bet a lot of the fans do too. The idea of the playoffs, and it is a small sample size. I mean, one of the best examples is the 2006 World Series. The Cardinals win the World Series, and Sports Illustrated does its, you know, huge story about the winning of the World Series. And in the entire article, thousands of words, not once did they even mention Albert Pujols because he had like an okay series. And then the point is, you can win the World Series and your best player doesn't even make it in the big article because he could have an okay, he just be okay. You can't do that in basketball. LeBron can't have like an off series and you still, you know, win the series. It's not happening.
Right.
But
rarely
it's
in the Super Bowl can you do it. But
But it is but the different sports things, it's apples and oranges because it is the small sample size of baseball. So with that being said by me. I do want to point out, to answer your question, the thing that bothers me is the recent games we've seen against Pittsburgh and Chicago. They'll probably play one of those teams in the playoffs, mm-hmm. if not both, depending on how it...
Right, right. Yeah. If things really go south,
Both.
Or maybe just one.
Yeah, good
God. And
not
in the way you think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
especially if it's at Chicago and it's Arrieta.
Oof.
Yeah. But
he's kind of good.
He's not bad.
Pretty good deal for Feldman.
Yeah. The local TV guy here?
No.
That was the trade?
No, Scott Feldman.
Oh, Scott Feldman.
Yeah. No, people get those two confused all the time.
Yeah.
No, Scott Feldman.
Or Feldman from the Bizarro episode of... Or the Seinfeld Bizarro Jerry episode.
Oh, right.
Remember
that's
that?
Right. Yeah, I do remember that.
Kramer was Feldman.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So it could have been that guy.
Bizarro is a Superman reference, by the way.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't... You know a lot about superheroes.
Yeah, about...
Yeah, I know. I will say this. I'm trying to work on a joke.
Okay.
And maybe we can craft. What's
we
the word?
Can workshop it.
Workshop it mm-hmm. right here live on a podcast. I'm trying to do something about. And help me out. Was it Superman? Was that a guy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Superman goes into a phone booth.
He does.
And that's where Superman, who was Clark Kent, a newspaper reporter,
mm-hmm.
goes into the phone booth, and voila, he comes out, he's Superman.
And he's a baseball writer.
He's a baseball. All right. Go ahead. That part won't be part of the joke.
Okay. I'm ruining it. Sorry.
No, but we're even now after my stupid 2.81.
Oh, okay, good. I just want to keep the ledger level.
Thank you. So the idea is this. Clark Kent, whenever there is a situation,
mm-hmm.
he goes to the phone booth near the situation, mm-hmm. becomes Superman, and then saves the situation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Okay, but here's my question, Derek. Let's say it's 2015. It's 2015, and Clark Kent is in the newsroom, and he sees on the wires that there's going to be a person jumping off a building.
Off a building.
Really high up.
I got it.
So Clark Kent goes to the scene as the reporter.
Mm-hmm.
But his plan in his head is to go in a phone booth, become Superman, fly up there,
right.
save the guy.
Right.
But it's 2015. There are no phone booths.
No.
So what happens, he can't turn into Superman. The guy dies, but Clark Kent is the first reporter on the scene.
Oh, because of speed?
No, just because he's there.
Because he's there.
He went there.
So he gets the scoop,
but not
the save.
Right. So the guy dies, which is bad.
Yeah, it is bad.
And if he was Superman, he could have saved the guy, but at least...
And this is all because of technology?
Because there's no phone booth for him to go to.
I know.
So the silver lining is at least he gets a good story.
Oh, okay. All right. But the guy...
So that's the joke I'm workshopping.
Good. I like
that. And we'll continue to workshop it.
Yeah, I think this... I think every season should have a theme that we run through every podcast, like 12 episodes, and then at the end of the 12th episode, like, you know, in Serial, you have resolution of your joke, not just like, it doesn't become like the, you know,
sure.
What is it? The Aristocrats. It's not like this unending joke. Yours has resolution.
Here's what we'll do, Derek. We'll go down to the Funny Bone Comedy Club. Mm-hmm. They still have those ads. I've lived in St. Louis only for like a week or two. Do the ads, they still have those? Funny Bone Comedy. Yeah,
they do.
Funny Bone Comedy Club.
Yeah.
I remember those from growing up. So
we should charge them $1.50 for that.
We will go to the Funny Bone.
Okay.
And I'll get on stage. Use a little panache,
mm-hmm.
to use your word, and I'll perform the Clark Kent joke.
That'd be fantastic.
Just the one joke. Ladies and gentlemen,
here everybody
is.
Has already heard on the podcast.
They're like, I know what's going to happen.
Oh, wait.
And it's not even that funny when it happens.
Yeah.
In fact, it's kind of morose.
So to pull us back in,
tether
us back to the Cardinals.
It's too late.
Too late. We've lost it.
Yep.
You know, your concern is like, what do they do without a star?
Concerned that the most recent...
What do they do without their Superman?
Oh, is that what you're doing here?
Yeah.
Well, that's your thing.
Oh,
My thing is that they did poorly against the good teams lately.
Oh, okay.
Your thing is apparently that they don't have a Superman. They just have a lot of good players.
No, I actually think that's beneficial in October because, you know, you can pitch around a Pujols to your
point.
You can pitch around a Pujols
yeah.
and... you know, and somebody else has to beat you. A David Eckstein has to beat you. You know, a Scott Rolen has to beat you. Scott Rolen, really good, but Scott Rolen has to beat you. A David Freese has to beat you.
So Taguchi.
Yeah, so Taguchi.
I was at
Todd Zeal.
Todd Zeal. Oh, that's right. That was what I wanted to name the podcast, and you liked it too.
I did like
it. But it was too...
I don't think Todd Zeal had him. I just named him.
Yeah.
Just to bring it
up. I wanted to call it Pod Zeal.
I was going to go Scott Spezio, and I got all
the I see what you did there.
Yeah.
I wanted to call the podcast Pod Zeal, kind of a deep cuts Cardinal rookie.
Totally is, yeah.
But we were worried that Todd himself would be mad, or that people would be like, I expected Todd Zeal.
When is Todd Zeal going to come in?
It's
like waiting for Godot. We just get the two guys.
Yeah.
When does Godot show up?
Exactly.
You know, it'd be totally. Yeah.
So, unfortunately, we didn't go with Todd Zeal.
So, I think that's actually a strength. And I think if I'm looking at like a trend, you know, you can go with the pitching trend. That's great. But one of the trends, when this team is at its best, and I just find this fascinating aspect, you know, you look back at some baseball teams, it's like, oh, well, they have a lot of ways to win.
Mm-hmm.
I thought when this team was at its best, whether it was early in the season or in that Giants series just recently, it's not that they have a lot of ways to win. It's that they have so few ways they lose.
That's well said, Derek.
And they play a really tight game that doesn't give up many extra bases, that doesn't give up extra things, you know, that just doesn't. And then they seize on everyone they get just because that's the offense they know they have. They don't wait for the three-run jack from somebody because they're like, oh, well, that might come next month.
Right.
Do something now.
Exactly.
So I think that's beneficial. What concerns me, to continue your statement is, or the thought that you brought up, is actually how much the bullpen has worked and when does that fray? Does it fray? And if it does fray, you know, where is the depth there, and will Mike Matheny be willing to use it?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, we debated this in the press box this week about will he and this is following this. This is about an outfielder, but will he stick with John Jay just because he loves John Jay so much, or will he be willing to use a Grichuk at center and Piscotty at first, something like that?
Right.
So now we're talking about the bullpen. I mean, clearly he loves Seegers. Clearly he loves Maness. But I mean, will he go with a Steve Cishek and a Jonathan Broxton when the season's on the line? I mean, maybe not when the season's on the line, but maybe in game two of a series or something like that. It remains to be seen with those guys, but what's your take on how he'll handle the bullpen?
I mean, I think it's going to be determined. I mean, they're going to have to figure out in that final week whether Adam Wainwright is part of the equation.
Yeah.
Can he really be part of the equation?
What a story that would be.
What level is the faith of Broxton?
Mm-hmm.
That seems to come in cycles. Cishek really has not been used in those leverage spots. I'm eager to see as the season kind of closes how often the spots where they're like, oh, well, Maness isn't available or Seegers isn't available. How often Tuivalu gets used, maybe over Cishek or over Broxton, because there's a guy who throws 98 and speed does thrill in October. I mean, it's very valuable to have.
We saw it in 2013 with the aforementioned Carlos Martinez.
Well, and also then I think where does he fit in? You know, to bring us full circle, is how does he, what role is he best suited for in the playoffs? And might it be in the bullpen where he is in the, you know, a local radio show here has a great line. They call it In the Circle of Trust. And I think that's really good.
Guess who's back in the circle of trust.
And he's already there.
Yeah.
And man, he could be, I say that he's Zeus out of the bullpen. He comes in chucking lightning bolts.
Right.
And that's, I think that will be a real interesting aspect because then if Maness isn't the guy, if he's been overworked, and maybe he's the guy who fits as a fireman or, you know, is really valuable in the regular season, but if you have a Martinez in that role versus a Maness who's going to have appeared in 140 games, roughly, give or take.
So, 140?
Roughly. I mean,
he'll pitch in more games than you've covered. That's how many games he's...
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I did a lot of spring training.
You're right.
Yeah.
Right. I was on the Jonah Carey podcast, and we were talking about the Cardinals' bullpen, you know, issues, and I told him one thing to be concerned about is if if Seth's arm is to fall off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How do you handle
can
that?
Can he be a left-hander?
Can he pitch with his left hand?
Yeah.
Can you reapply it? Can you... And that actually
I don't know
means,
about the rule in that regard, though.
That's a very great question. And you know what, Derek? One of your favorite things that ever happened in life, I can now bring up because it's kind of a nice little segue. We're talking about arms falling off.
Jeez.
So this is a good this is a good question.
Yeah.
For
we
those...
should just end the podcast now.
No. This is great. This is great. Now, if it's somehow not funny, you have the ability to end it.
No, because it is funny, because it made me laugh more than almost anything.
This will be extra innings of our podcast.
Yeah. We've already gone into extra.
Here's the question for everybody listening. For $1 billion, not a million.
No, with a B.
With a B. For $1 billion, would you have your dominant arm replaced by a horse hoof? Would you kind of
proportionally sized?
Proportionally sized, you know, maybe like a Shetland pony, one might say.
Right.
You don't have a hand; you have the hoof thing, literally. You know, there's a lot of questions that come into this.
Mm-hmm.
I said right away. I said I'd do it. Mm-hmm. I'd do it for $1 billion. I would have a proportionate horse hoof arm situation on my body.
Mm-hmm.
Other people say, "Well, will it smell?" People wonder, you know, just different things. And you, Derek, came up with what I thought was maybe the most clever and good question to ask.
Pressing question to ask. Yeah, yeah.
I'll let you take the table here.
I mean, yeah, it's because if you break your normal arm, they put it in a cast. And my concern was if you broke your horse arm, would they shoot you?
Would you die?
this was my concern.
Yeah.
Was do they? I mean,
right. Everything's going great with your billion.
Yeah,
you're pulling off that. You're wearing a lot of long sleeves.
Yeah,
and gloves and mittens. But then
you trip.
It happens.
Yeah, this is my concern.
Yeah, I mean, it gets icy in St. Louis in the winters.
Yeah.
You're walking in from a ball game, or game.
You know, they say it's your left hand or your right hand is your
dominant. Yeah,
and so that's your human hand, so you can sign checks.
Yeah,
because you have $1 billion.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you're
yeah.
gonna need to want to sign checks.
Right.
If that breaks, you know, it's cool, man. Hey,
right.
we got a cast here. I was concerned about the other arm
because that would stink if you like signed up for this.
It would.
You went to the surgery and then a fortnight later.
I just think you have to think all these things through.
You're assassinated.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Euthanized.
Yeah,
I think that's the word.
Okay.
Yeah. But
assassinates for like
dignitaries. Yeah.
Yeah. I would still do it. I would risk it.
Or royalty.
Royalty. Yeah. Or Biggie Smalls.
Or public figures. Yeah.
No. I would do it.
Which you might be if you have a horse of.
Oh, and that's the other thing is everyone's like, oh, I'd be so embarrassed. I think it's a great conversation
everybody
starter.
Everybody would know.
Yeah. And, oh,
we're
by the way,
the rails now.
Let's say I meet a cute girl at the bar and I'm talking to her. Hi, I'm Benjamin. A lot of guys. She's like, wait, is that a horse hoof coming off your body?
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I would say that's not the only horse-like part of my body.
Because
my teeth.
Yeah. I can see that. See, this is...
Or I'd say I'm a billionaire. That's the other thing I'd say.
No, you should.
Because I'm a billionaire, so who cares
and
if my
And I can never
arm...
break this arm.
Yeah, but who cares, young lady at Barcelona and Clayton, that my arm is made out of a horse hoof because I have $1 billion.
And this is why the podcast name works so well, because as so often happens, we just run wild.
Yeah, I love it.
All right, so let's close with this. Okay, we talked about October trends. You're worried about how they played against some of the best teams.
Yeah.
But you're heartened by the...
So much.
Yeah. Lots to like about the pitching and everything like that. I'm concerned about, you know, the bullpen and the state it's going to arrive in October as far as its veracity, its durability, all those things. But heartened by the number of ways that this team does not find ways to
lose.
That
was really well said. That was my favorite thing you said.
Really? I mean, we've done this for 50 minutes and that's a favorite thing?
That's a really sharp line,
though. Thanks. I should have written it.
Yeah. If only we had recorded it.
Yeah, if only somebody would listen to this and know. October, though, is also... I mean, you remember, more, even more so than me.
Mm-hmm.
This is very true for you. I remember October in the Marriott points and the history that I saw, and you know, the moments that I love covering October. Huh. But you remember it for the songs.
Oh, the Cardinals have had some of the best playoff songs ever.
Ever.
I mean, now some of them are actual songs, like 1982 Celebration.
Right.
I have a when I was growing up, I had an actual record.
Yeah.
I don't know if kids know what that is. A record.
Yes.
And it played Celebration, the song, and it played Jack Buck and Mike Shannon and you know, Brummer's still at home. Brummer's still at home. He is safe. You know, it'd play the highlights of that.
Yeah.
And so I used to love Celebration '85. The heat is on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've only been back in town a couple weeks, but when they bring back the guys, they had Vince Coleman, they had Tudor.
Is Some Night 2011?
Well, I was going to get to that.
Okay.
But, yeah, I would say, but the caveat. With
fun little F, period?
Correct. Mm-hmm. You're referring to the that song.
Yeah.
And here's the difference, though, like, I was around in 2011. That song wasn't like playing like during the playoffs, but then the next year when they made that YouTube.
It's amazing.
It was to that song. So almost like retroactively.
Who made that? Do you know?
Like Steven Spielberg or something like that.
It's tremendous.
Well, I'm actually, this is kind of fun. This is in the early stages, so I'll bring it up here, but I'm not promising anything. I'm in the early stages of working on a documentary about the 2011 Baseball Cardinals.
Fantastic.
And the director of this, one of the things I showed him to get him excited was the Some Nights YouTube.
That's awesome.
And he thought
that's
it was
fantastic.
Really cool.
It was really so well done.
But I think we're skipping a particular song that's near dear to my heart. I don't even know if you know about this, but in the year 2000, the Cardinals had a song, and it wasn't like this was a timely thing. Or maybe it was. Who Let the Dogs Out? Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it was timely. So they wrote, I don't know who they is, they wrote, Who Let the Cards Out? And it was a song.
Really?
But it was like well written, and they had like...
It got better?
Couldn't have gotten worse. No, Who Let the Cards Out? And then they would sing like, From Daryl Kyle to Rick and Keel, that's what I call rotation. Goodbye, Griffey, so long, Sosa, Cardinals are back in the postseason. And, like, that's the only part I remember, but, like, there was other, like, they had, like, a line about Matheny.
How did this not catch on?
Oh, I think it did in 2000.
Oh.
Yeah, but, I mean, so,
it's got to be a ringtone.
Yeah, I think I had it as my ringtone on my first flip phone. So, anyway, even though the heat is on, oh, that's why I was bringing up in 85, some of those guys have been coming back, and they've been playing The Heat Is On
absolutely,
at Busch.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
So we'll close with this, the first episode of As So Often Happens. Do you have a suggestion for what does this develop organically?
Okay.
Do you have a suggestion for 2015? Would you like to get the listener's input on 2015?
Both. I have a suggestion, and I would like to see if anyone can top it.
Okay.
Maybe not. You know what I'm saying? You're making it sound like they're going to do better than I am here. No, no.
They did better for the name of the show than we did, so I have a lot of faith.
Touché. No. Nothing will top this. This is the year. You know, you've had injuries.
Yeah.
You're overcoming the death of Oscar. You've overcome adversity.
Mm-hmm.
What have the Cardinals been doing, Derek? They've been holding on. Someday somebody's going to make them all turn around and say goodbye.
Oh, interesting.
Till then, baby. I don't know
the
lyrics.
Isn't that like a graduation song?
Graduation from the regular season to the playoffs.
Oh, I see what you did there. Okay. All right.
You know, Hold On by Wilson Phillips. Hold On for One More Day. That's what we got to have.
Okay. Well, it does fit the urgency that Mike Matheny does like to speech. You know, Hold On for just one more day.
One more day.
And see if it gets you to tomorrow.
It's as if he wrote the lyrics.
It is. All right. Well, we'll turn it over to, do you have a cool hashtag for that? Because we'll turn it over to listeners. You can tweet to Benjamin Hochman at Hochman, HOCHMAN.
Yeah.
Or you can tweet to me at D Gould. That's DGOOLD.
Yes.
And the hashtag will be hashtag.
Hold On.
Hold On.
Why not? It's the name of the song.
No, but they're suggestions. Hold On can be,
Why don't we just do hashtag
ASOH song?
Yes. but A-S-O-H song.
Yeah, A-S-O-H for As So Often Happens song.
Song.
Okay, so
bring it on.
So bring it on, and we'll talk about some of our favorites here in a later episode of As So Often Happens. Thank you very much for joining us for the pilot episode of As So Often Happens.
I hope we get picked up.
I hope we get renewed for a second one. We'll see how this goes. It's been very enjoyable, Benjamin Hogman. Thanks for joining me here at the palatial dining room of Shea Gould.
I got to meet Dash the dog, too.
Dash the dog. We had a 9-year-old running around that nobody heard, which is rather remarkable.
Yeah. Great podcast.
Been great. This has been Derek Gould, and speaking for Benjamin Hogman, sports columnist at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. We'll join you next time for episode 2 of As So Often Happens.